Okay, well, we're all here except Edgar, huh? Well, most of us.
We're all here, but I don't know that we're all there.
Yeah, right. Okay, well. Homework. Number four. See Moodle. Okay. Two reasons to see Moodle. One, I want you to all sign up so that you can get your grades. This way you have to look at Moodle. I think the enrollment key was LNA. Okay. And caps. Capital L, capital N, capital A.
On this worksheet, should it be or A sub N cosine theta plus B sub N J sine theta?
No, let's just let B sub N be maybe we can absorb the I somewhere else. But yeah, it might be nice to do that, but this way you can you'll see how they normally do it. Okay. You can absorb the I into the constant. Oh, okay, so let's see. So maybe I should. You want me to show you the? Let me show you the homework so you have an idea what you're getting to. Okay, that's Moodle. Moodle is over here. Okay, log in. Okay, log in. Okay, here it is right here. Square wave exciting a low pass filter. Okay, so it says find the output of a low pass filter to an even. Now, what does even mean?
Symmetric about the y axis.
Right, symmetric about the y axis. Square wave of unit amplitude, that means it goes up to 1 and down to 1, minus 1. Okay. Unit amplitude and period 1 millisecond. Okay, so that means it lasts, one cycle is 1 millisecond. You know, up half a millisecond, down half a millisecond. The low pass filter is made up of a 1 microfarad capacitor in series with a 1 kilo ohm resistor. Okay, so do you guys understand what a low pass filter is? Maybe I should draw you a picture here.
Pictures are good.
Here's the picture. Say 1 kilo ohm and 1 microfarad. 1 microfarad and 1 kilo ohm. So 1K. So here's our low pass filter. You can see that this is a low pass filter. You see at DC, this capacitor is an open circuit, right? Kind of like a voltage divider between an open circuit and this resistor. And so it passes DC just perfect, right? In other words, at DC, V out equals V in. And if you go up to really high frequencies, this capacitor shorts out the high frequencies, so V out goes to zero, right? So it passes low frequencies and it attenuates high frequencies. Yeah, stops high frequencies. Does that make sense?
The kilo ohm resistor should drop V, right?
Well, it won't drop V if this is an open circuit. See, at DC, this is open, right?
Right.
So it's like that isn't there, right? So there's no current through the kilo ohm resistor, right?
Why is there no current through the kilo ohm resistor?
Because it can't go through there and it stops right here, right?
Oh.
Right? I mean, maybe I should draw a little circle here so
well.
That you can see that, it's open, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is where you connect on the input here. So this is open. But yeah, you're right. If you did have some input resistance on your next stage or whatever you were measuring that with, then you might have some problems. But if you had a perfect voltmeter and you measured it there, it would be just as big as it is back here. Okay?
What's an application of a low pass filter?
Well, there's lots and lots of applications for low pass filters. Basically, whenever you want to take an average of something, or you want to you just want to get the low frequency part, you know, the DC part. Like, say for example, you wanted to use your computer to measure a sound, and you had your microphone there, and you hooked your microphone up to your analog to digital converter, and maybe you had a really good microphone, one that would pick up sounds way up to, you know, like maybe 50 kilohertz or something, right? So this, you know, you bought this really good microphone. Well, then what happens if you run it into your computer and you set your computer to sample at about 4,000 samples per second, or maybe 8,000 samples per second, say. You set your computer to sample at 8,000 samples per second and your microphone is coming in with stuff at 50 kilohertz. What would happen? You're going to get all kinds of, you're not going to be, what's going to happen is you're not taking enough data points, you know, you're not taking enough data points for how fast the thing is going, you know, it's going like this. And you got one data point here and another one over here, right? And so it won't be a good representation of what happened, right?
Right.
So you'd be much better off to do a low pass filter of this thing, right? First, filter it out so that you don't have that fancy microphone getting that 50 kilohertz stuff. In fact, you'd want to low pass filter it so anything above 4 kilohertz was removed, okay? And then you'd have at least 2 points on every sine wave. And that's enough to resolve a sine wave. 2 points on a sine wave is enough to resolve it.
How
per cycle.
Would this filter out high frequencies?
Well, oh, this just makes them zero.
Frequency dependent.
Right?
What?
Frequency.
Oh, yeah, okay.
If I put in a really high frequency, it gets shorted out here. Low frequencies don't. So, I don't know. Does that make sense? So low-pass filters, you know, electricals use them all the time. Mechanicals probably use them quite a bit too, but they're probably, not thinking about it the same way. You know, electrical circuit, of course, you know, electricals would use that all the time, but mechanicals are using, actually, they build those circuits into your computer on the sound card, you know, so that, you know, you don't have to think about that kind of thing. And you don't make that dumb mistake, right? So.
Use,
there's two methods we want to do here, okay? Let's look at the second one first, okay? The second one, both of them, you're using circuit analysis, right? You guys all had circuit analysis. Remember that? Whenever that was, hopefully not too long ago. So let me just draw you a picture of what you can expect here. Here's time. Here's my cosine wave. Or my square wave, I guess it is, right? Okay, so this is Vn of t. And I had a beautiful red marker here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Okay, let's do V out of t. What would you expect to happen here? If I just had this thing and I just turned it on like that, what would happen? Now, this is an RC circuit, right? It's going to charge up that capacitor, right? So maybe it was down here and it's going to go whoop like that, right? Mm-hmm. And if this thing didn't switch, it would have kept on going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it switched. So I got to do this again, right? And now if this was in steady state, this point right here would equal that point right there. And this point right here would equal, you know, the one where it switches over here, right? Does that make sense? So, you guys can solve the differential equation, you know, C dV dt plus, you know, plus the voltage here minus the voltage there over the 1k, and come up with these curves here, right? Does that make sense? Oh, it doesn't make sense. Uh-oh. I'm going to have to send you back to Kurt or somebody for a refund. Shall we do a quick, do we need to remind you how to solve circuits? Quick refresh. Does this even make sense that it charges up like that and it discharges?
Yeah. That's exponential curve.
exponential curve, yeah. Do you remember, even remember that? You remember that, Joe, or?
Yeah.
A little bit, kind of? Okay, well. Well, let's take an aside over here. We'll try and remind you, maybe.
He says you cannot instantly change voltage across the capacitor, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It has to change gradually.
Yep.
So I'm going to just going to do this thing right here where I have an input here, and I'm going to have a resistor and a capacitor. I'm going to say this thing is U of T. I'm going to have to do something new in this class. So I'm going to introduce this U of T variable, okay? U of T, this is called a unit step function, and it's defined as 1 if T is greater than 0, I guess, maybe greater than or equal to 0, and 0 if T is less than 0, okay? So this little U of T, basically it turns on, kind of like this thing here turned on, although this turned on from minus 1 to plus 1, right? I'm just doing one that turns on from 0 to 1. And so what I want to do is I want to find V out right here. So I write a node equation. Here's ground down here. So I've got C dV out dt plus V out minus U of T over R equals 0. Does that make sense? This is the Kirchhoff current law right here. Okay? No voltage equation, right? Is that okay? Everybody remember those things? Okay, So now you're going to have two solutions to this thing. V out of T will have a natural and a forced response.
Since ground is between V out and U of T.
Mm-hmm. I mean, V out is measured between here and ground, and U of T is from there to ground. Does that make sense?
I had it backwards. I thought you were going from V out past the capacitor to U of T.
Is that okay?
Well, you could think of it that way, but you'd start with.
Yeah, I get it now.
Okay, so V out of T is made up of two parts to this thing. You remember back in differential equations, you guys had differential equations, right? And there was a thing called a particular solution and a homogeneous solution to this differential equation, right? I mean, this is like about the easiest differential equation you could solve, about not quite, but close, right? So, this was going to have a natural response, V out natural of T, plus V out, I call it forced of T. This is the particular solution, that's the homogeneous solution. And the particular solution, when I have U of T, if I want to find the result before, I want to find V out of T for, T greater than or equal to 0, okay, basically. I mean, before time T equals 0, assuming you had this circuit, this was always zero here, right? If that was always zero before, the capacitor would never have had anything to charge up to, right? And it just would have been zero. So it's just by inspection, before time t equals zero, the answer is zero, right? Okay, so this guy u of t is really, for t greater than zero, that's going to be one, really. So, I could write this again if you wanted. C dv out dt plus V out, this implies C dV out dt plus V out over R equals 1 over R, something like that. And so this is the forcing function, and there's these two solutions, right? And there's really, if I look at it kind of like this, I added 0 on there, that didn't change anything, but look at this. The natural response causes the 0 on the right-hand side, and the forced response causes the 1 over R, okay? So the natural response causes a 0 on the right-hand side, and the forced response causes this guy. You don't want to forget the natural response, right? And so the way we usually get these things is by guess, right? And so if I'm guessing the forced response, V out forced, I always guess this thing in these kind of situations. Whatever the forcing function looks like, and then a linear combination of that guy and all his derivatives. Well, this guy's just a constant. So I'm just going to say this guy right here is just going to be some number A. Okay. Now how do I get what A is? Well, I plug him back into that equation right there. So I got derivative of A with respect to t times C, which is 0, right? Plus A over R equals 1 over R, right? So that tells me A goes to 1. Is that okay? Adam.
What did you say OF stands for on the subscript?
Okay, this means forced. Oh. Forced response. And it comes from the forcing function. And this guy is the forcing function. Another word for this forced response is particular solution. Okay. If you liked ODE better than circuits, I don't know, maybe Kurt didn't call these things that, I don't know. This is called the homogeneous solution or the natural response. Okay, so that's good. That's okay. So I got the forced response as 1. Now how do I get the natural response? Well, remember it's the thing that causes the 0 over there. So I do this. I do C dV out natural dt plus V out natural divided by R equals 0. So now I got to guess some kind of function that will work for that, right? So I take some function, I take it and add it to some number of times its derivative, I got to get 0. Well, it seems like something like e to the something t might work, right? So you always guess V out natural of t equals some number, I'll call it b, e to the st, right? So then I plug b, e to the st in there, and I get c times s, b, e to the st, plus b, e to the st, the best, divided by r. And that equals 0. So then you can divide out the best, right here, right? And you get S equals minus 1 over RC. Okay? So that tells me the total solution here is equal to 1 plus the best, right? Which is B e to the minus T over RC. Right? So if I graph it, well, I haven't figured out what B is. I've got to get B. Well, let's see. What do we know? We know at time t equals 0, v out of 0 was 0, right? V out of 0 was equal to 0. So that's 1 plus b, right? So that implies b equals minus 1. And so then we can graph it. Here's the answer. Starts out like this, and it goes up like this, and it's asymptotically approaching 1. That was the output, you know, this is V out of t, and I suppose I could graph the U of t here. This is the U of t, it comes like this. So this guy right here is U of t, the input. Okay, so that's the same kind of thing we were having happen here, you know. This went up, it was headed all the way, you know, it was going to go right on asymptotically, but so it got switched, right? And it kept getting switched. I just want you to find what that function is there. You can see it's a periodic function, right?
Where is the switch?
The switch?
Where is switch in
it gets switched because VI is a square wave, turns on and off, on and off. It's the input that's switched. Okay, I didn't draw that part, the square wave generator. The electronics guys know how to make them now, but the rest of you guys will have to contract with one of them. It'll cost you highly.
It'd be worth it.
Yeah, it'd be worth it. Anyway, they can build it for you. They know how now. Okay. But yeah, so it puts out this boom, 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 boom thing, right? And so that's way number two here. Okay. Using periodic boundary conditions. I'll let you fill in the details, okay? That's not too hard. Now, way number one is this. This is number two, okay. Number one. We can write this square wave as a Fourier series, right? So the square wave, phi of t, is equal to this summation, n equals, so it's a symmetric square wave, so it doesn't have a DC term. I'll just do 1 to infinity. And I think it's only odd terms too, so you could do this if you wanted to. And it's a sub n, and you can figure out what the a sub n's are now, right? And it's cosine, because it's an odd, even function, cosine of 2 pi n t over cap t, which is 0.001, right? Right?
Did you just say it was an odd function?
No, did I say it was odd? There's 0. I've said it was, what did it say, odd, even? It says even right up here. Oh, it's because that's the ones that fit. Here, let me, here's the t equals 0 is right there, right? And the idea is we got a cosine wave like this, and then we got a third harmonic, but the second harmonic didn't fit, right? So that's why I got the odd ones here. I should go dot, 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 right?
Now, could we switch, put in sine and go from 0 to 4?
No.
No.
No. No, no, no. Sine, a sine square wave, I mean an even, an odd square wave, if you just scoot this over, will only still have odd harmonics. Shouldn't change the frequency component by just picking your where your t equals 0 is, right? It should still sound the same, right? If you were born half a second later, you know, and
that would be kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. What you hear is a different frequencies than what Bryson heard, because he was born a little bit differently, you know. Okay, so we've got this thing right here, right? Now, probably, if you've forgotten that, you've probably forgotten phasors too. Is that correct?
No.
Phasers we enjoyed.
Yeah, the thing is, we didn't really spend that much time doing that. I think we just memorized a lot of.
That's scary. Oh, really?
And actually, shockingly enough, the math teachers didn't really cover guessing for solving differential equations. That wasn't on their syllabus.
Oh, well, they didn't like that.
What do you mean, surprisingly?
You do the little check thing to make sure that it's. Overdamped, underdamped.
Right.
Yeah.
Now this isn't even underdamped or overdamped. There's only one kind of one pole, right? Only one capacitor, right? There's one order differential equation.
It's not a RLC.
No. It's just easy. Okay, so if you're feeling good about phasors, then here's the idea. We have that circuit there, and I'm going to call these guys right here. I'm going to call them VI, because they're from the input, but they're the nth VIN of t, right? Each one of them is a sine wave, right? And so now I'm going to use superposition. I'm going to say, look, I'm going to solve this circuit by superposition, right? Each one of these, you know, I won't write the whole thing. I'll just write VIN. It's easier. VIN. I don't mean to mean natural. Maybe I better make this an M here. I'm going to make that an M and make that an M, so you don't get natural mixed up somehow. I'm just worried you might, okay? VIM. M stands for the harmonic number, what frequency we're talking about, right? So VIM of T, which is a sine wave, you know, that guy. Right, and you know how to find the output, and it would be VOM of T, right? I mean, this is the input to this low pass filter, and this is the output, right? You know how to do that using phasors, right? Once you've done that, what does a superposition say? Well, superposition says VI is just the sum, you know, M equals 1, 3, dot, 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 to infinity of VIM of T, right? And so then the output over here using superposition is what? It's T just same linear combination, right? Yeah, so m equals 1, 3, dot, 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 to infinity of v o m of t, right? And then you're done, right? So that's way number one. Is that okay?
Sure.
And if you need help with the phasors or whatever, you know, come and get me. I'll help you, okay? So any questions on the homework? Oh, there's also this thing. You need to do a script to plot it to make sure that, you know, when you do this thing, it actually gives you that, right? So the two answers equal and all's well, right? So, and you can turn that script in on Moodle here. It says no attempts have been made on this assignment. Okay, so not yet.
We should try.
Yeah, we should attempt it. Yeah, right. We could attempt it here. Okay, so anyway. Okay. What do I need to do? I need to go F11 so I can find my other tab. Okay. So here we are, back where we were last day at the end of class. We were trying to figure out if we could take that Fourier series that had sines and cosines and write it in this wonderful way right here. Right? That was our goal. And I'd like to try. I mean,
it'll help you on your thing. Let's just kind of remind ourselves what we had before.
See, we started out with a square wave that was an odd square wave, wasn't it? It was an odd one, and we made that up out of sine waves, right? And then I gave you that disgusting problem where you had a function that wasn't even or odd, right? And you had to figure out how to write that as a function of, you know, a linear combination of sine waves. And so, you know, the way we did that, we kind of showed you how to do that here in case you hadn't figured it out. Maybe that was boring because you'd already figured it out, but you can take any function, write it as its even part and its odd part, and we showed you that you know, an odd function was orthogonal to an even function. In other words, you can never make up an odd function out of any linear combination of even functions, right? I mean, you can take all the even functions you could ever dream up and you'll never make an odd function out of it. The only one you could make would be zero, right? I guess zero is either.
Zero.
Right, yeah. So anyway, this shows that even and odd functions are orthogonal. That means sines and cosines are orthogonal, right? Okay, so that's cool.
Then what else did we find out here?
I guess we talked about what an even and odd function look like up there. Here was the coefficients for the odd part, and then, you know, we kind of outlined we could have got the coefficients for the even part down here, you know, using a similar kind of a thing that we did before. I'll wave my arms about that, and hopefully, you know, you were convinced. I mean, I could have done it again, but that was kind of boring, right? So now what I'd like to do is I'd like to take this Fourier series, this wonderful thing right here, which probably you like better than the one with the e to the j things in it, because this thing is all real, right? Real things are nice, but remember when you were solving things with finding the steady state due to sine and the steady state due to cosine, what did you do? Well, you had this problem here. You went to phasors, right? Phasors was easier than those, right? So even though it was complex, it was still easier, right? So hopefully you've been converted to liking phasors, and if you like phasors, then you'll like my series up here that has e to the j things in it, because phasors are based on e to the j omega t, right? So what I want to do is I just want to take this guy and that guy, and using Euler's identity, I'd like to come up with this one with the C sub n's here, or alpha sub n's, I guess is what we had on your thing. I think your book uses C sub n's, and I was using alpha sub n's for some reason last quarter because I don't read the book, right? So that was a problem. So this time I remembered and used C sub n's, okay? So they're C sub n's. But on your handout there, I didn't change them to C sub n's. There's alpha sub n's on the handout because I used that handout last quarter, and I thought, oh, how handy! Just what I need right here. But
oh, we don't really care that much. It's
yeah,
just notation.
It's just notation, right? So you get used to that. So let me start out with the x of t. So I guess maybe I should write what we're doing. We are converting the sine, cosine, Fourier series to t to exponential. Big summation here. X of t equals x of t plus capital T. Oh, okay. I'll do that again. X of t equals x of t plus capital T. I'm emphasizing that it's periodic, okay, with period capital T. And then I can write it like this in this great big thing here. I'm going to write n equals 0 to infinity, and I'm going to write it like this. I'm going to write a sub n cosine of 2 pi n t over cap t plus b sub n sine of 2 pi n t over cap t. And then I'm going to put a closing parenthesis on that, and hopefully that's the same as what I had right here. I just put the sum over here, and if notice, if I put n equals 0 in, sine of 0 is 0, so that term is okay, okay? It just ends up multiplying by 0. So this gives me all the terms here. Okay. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to write cosine of this dude right here. Do you guys know how to write cosine in terms of e to the j something? Is that okay?
Euler's identity, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, Euler's identity. Here, we wrote it right here. Cosine theta is e to the j theta plus e to the minus j theta over 2, right?
Yeah.
It's the even part of e to the j theta. So this is e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t plus e to the minus j 2 pi n t over cap t. And this guy is, and I need a 2 on the bottom, and this guy is e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t plus e to the minus j 2 pi n t, oops, minus, I guess. So this is the odd part, over cap t divided by 2j.
No, didn't Euler's identity specify that the sine had to be j?
Oh, maybe you're thinking of this. Here, Travis, let's just do a quick aside here. E to the j theta was equal to cosine of theta plus j sine of theta. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
And so if I wrote e to the minus j theta, what would I get? What would I write here? I'm just changing the sine on j,
right?
So I just change the sine on j, right? Okay, and if I add those two guys together, what do I get? Over here I get 2 cosine theta, right? And here I get that plus that. Well, if I divide both sides by 2, I get cosine theta is that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now if I subtract these two, I subtract this one from that one, I get 2j sine theta, right? If I divide
yes.
by 2j, I get that thing for sine theta, okay?
Okay.
Is that right? Okay, so these guys are basically that. There's no difference. They're the same, right?
It's just a rearrangement.
Just a rearrangement. No
right,
funny
right,
business.
Right.
So, then I need to rewrite this right here. And so, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this into two sums. And maybe a zero term, okay? So, I'm going to make the first sum is going to be the one going to Well, I'll do the zero term first. I don't know. Well, maybe I should put the zero term in the middle. So I'm going to go n equals 1 to infinity, and I'm going to have, see, a sub n is multiplied by this whole mess. So this has a positive argument here, so I'm going to put that in this term, and I'm going to have a sum with negative n's over here for this guy, okay? So I'm going to have a sub n over 2 times e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t, like there. And then there's a positive n over here, so I'm going to keep that guy. So I'm going to have a plus b sub n over j 2, and that will be, this needs to all be in the same sum here, and that's going to be e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t. And then I'm going to have, that's the end of that sum. Now I'm going to have the zero term, which is just a sub zero, right? And the b zero doesn't matter because it gets multiplied by zero anyway, right?
Right.
So I can, now I'm going to put the sum over here. And I'm really making a change of variables here. I'm going to make this from, I'll do it in two steps. I'll go n equals minus 1 to minus infinity. Okay, so this goes minus 1, minus 2, minus 3, minus 4, minus 5, up to minus infinity. Okay, or backwards to minus infinity, kind of. Right. Okay, so this will be a sub n over 2 times e to the, okay,
j
2 pi n t over cap t. And then what I'm going to have is minus b sub n over j2 e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t, like that, right? Did I do that?
You're making it too complicated, Edgar.
Is that okay? Adam. Because you see, I didn't like this negative sign in the exponent here. Oh, I made a mistake here. I need to change these to minuses, don't I? Minus n, minus n, right? Oh, I'm making a mess here.
So there
was up here, there was no a sub minus 1, right? I just would have made something up here, right? I mean, I would have been grabbing garbage out of the memory there, right?
Couldn't you just put a negative in the exponent?
Oh, I could have, but I really like this e to the plus j thing, man. I really do. It's right. Cool. I like e to the plus j. I'm just stuck on it. So look it. I could put this sum together with that sum, right? And actually with this middle term. I could include that in a gigantic sum, right? Couldn't I? Because you see, I can take this guy right here, and I can factor out. This is a n over 2 plus j b n over 2, right? Oops, minus j b n over 2. Because when the j comes upstairs, it becomes a minus j. And that's times e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t, right? And this is times e to the j 0, 2 pi 0 t over cap t, right? I mean, this is, you know, this guy right here is a 0 e to the j 2 pi 0 t over cap t, right? And this guy right here, I can do this thing. I can go a sub minus n over 2 plus j b sub minus n over 2. And then put this e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t like that, right? Yeah. And they all have this e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t, and this one starts at, well, if I could change the order of this sum just as well, couldn't I? I could go minus infinity up to 1. It wouldn't make any difference, right?
No, same difference.
Same thing. Yeah, any order you like, right? So this whole thing, really, I could write this whole thing as some summation like this, n equals minus infinity to infinity, right? And I'm going to have to call this guy, what am I going to need to do here? I'm going
to
have... Yeah, I wonder what that means. Probably means I have an appointment pretty soon here. I better hurry up here. E to the plus j, 2 pi n t over cap t. I know I can factor that out, right? And then in front of this, I'm going to have an c sub n, right? So what is c sub n? I just, you know, I'm just going to write c sub n equals, well, it's going to be a n minus j b n over 2, right? Well, I got to do a thing like this, right? For n greater than 0, right? It equals a 0 for n equals 0, and equals a n plus j b n. I can put a 2 and a 2, I suppose, for n less than 0, right?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're going straight from minus infinity to positive infinity,
mm-hmm.
how can we afford to lose the minus signs in the subscript of a n and b n there?
Oh, I made a mistake. Yeah, I can't afford to lose these.
Okay.
Well, let's
because
see.
We still don't have any.
Well, let's think about this.
Yeah.
What was?
There's no
what was
b
this?
N.
Yeah. No. It's, yeah. I guess. Yeah. N is not negative, but if. But I need a minus n right here. Right. Because n was it was a minus n, right?
But then you, wouldn't you be doubling up on your? Oh no, it's a step function.
So now I've defined, if you knew what the a's and the b's were before, right, where n goes from 0, 1, 2 up to infinity, right, and I should say that b sub 0 is 0, because it doesn't matter what b sub 0 is, right? So you know, b sub 0 could be defined as 0 if you wanted. Could be anything, doesn't matter. Could be 10 or 15.
You
or
can have like 2a1. Oh, yeah.
But they'll be on
negative.
Different sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So now I've got twice as many coefficients here.
Really
these C's are complex, right? So the C is a complex thing, and notice that, you know, C sub minus n is equal to C sub plus n complex conjugate. Did you notice that? If I change this minus n to a plus n right here, right, that would be C sub minus n's, right? That's the complex conjugate of that guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. And look at how simple this thing is. Man, I didn't even need this great big room in the parentheses here. It's just such a simple little thing.
Well,
no, that's only if you knows the A's and the B's. What I want to do next day is I want to show you a quick way of getting the C's without even knowing the A's and the B's. And once you've got the C's, you can get the A's and the B's using this. Right? Because I just, if you gave me C sub 1, I'd tell you what A sub 1 and B sub 1 was, right? I just look at the real part of C sub 1 and say that thing was A1 over 2, right? Witchcraft. Yeah.
This wizardry.
Yeah, this is the bad stuff here. I don't know.
Wait, this is way, those are way nicer than that.
Yeah, I think this is way nicer than that.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's way nicer than that. See, I like to save this ink, right? These pens are expensive. Man. But the thing I really like about this is that this thing, e to the j things, are easier to work with than sines and cosines.
Yeah.
They are just wonderful to work with.
They're
and if
easier.
I could solve this, you know, you solve this thing over here, right? You want to know a third way to solve it? Third way, I won't make you do number 3, but I'll call it number 0 so you don't have to do it, right? Number 0, okay, 2, 1, 0. What would you do? You would write vi of t
is this summation n equals minus infinity to infinity of c sub n e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t, right? Oh, and when you plug that thing into a differential equation like this, you see instead of u of t, you're going to have an e to the j something there. Oh, it's like the best function to have as a forcing function. It is like makes this the easiest thing to solve. So much easier than sines and cosines, so much easier than any other function you could possibly invent. And so it's so easy to solve, you know, the v sub I n's here, right? That would go with this, and then use superposition again, right? Oh, I like that better than what you guys have to do. In fact, I like it so well, maybe I'll, well, I don't know. If I just did it in that, you'd say, oh, well, now I can go figure out what mine needs to be just by this formula, right? And you guys would pull that slick trick thing like some of you did by just shifting over the axis on that last one. Man, I've been smoked. Yeah, if it works, and it did, I'll have to admit. So anyway, next day we'll see if we can find these C sub n's. You guys have a good Sabbath, good weekend. Yeah, right. And, we'll see you on Monday.